Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all missed us last week since we was out running around up in northern Missouri, up there by Kansas City. I wasn't able to get on the radio show. So I know y'all are happy to have us back. I had a lot of people going, where the hell y'all at? And I was like, well, we're kind of busy at the moment. I had 3 days to get something done and had to get it done. So we're back on the radio this week. I promise you, you won't be short this week on having anything on. We're going to start off the show with Delaney and Wayne Crow out of Texas that just won some nice trophies down there at the Sam's Club. And then we're going to have Phil Wingo on, and then we're going to have Todd Johns on from the Plow Boys. Let's get my radio host in real quick and see what he's got going on and see what he's got going on this weekend since he wasn't on last weekend either.
Are you talking to me, Boo?
Companion, my barbecue Jesus, bad company man in the house, Randy Hill. What is going on, Randy Hill?
I'm just living the dream, dude. I'm excited. I'm getting the barbecue season's about to heat up. You know, we're about to roll some comps. You know, I got a barbecue boner just thinking about it. I'm ready to roll, dude. How about you?
Man, I've been cooking all winter long. I can't get, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm probably at the top of my game as far as I can get. If it gets any better, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't think it can get any better. I really don't. I've been cooking all winter, and I feel like I'm at the top peak of where I can be at right now. And, you know, I'm really happy to be able to have a business where I can do something I love every day of the week and all weekend and put as many hours in as we put in. But, you know, I don't think I can get any better, you know. My brother, when he was running it full-time, running our business full-time, he was pretty much the head cook. And, you know, I was come in, I left for a little while, and I'd cook a little bit on the weekends, and he was cooking every day. And you could tell the difference. You really could tell the difference. I mean, he put it on my ass. And, you know, by then, I noticed that, you know, he was out cooking me, but now he can't hold a candle to me, and he'll tell you straight up, you know, I'll put it on his ass. But, you know, cooking every day, all the practice, you know, it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference in the barbecue world.
Well, you know, I think we might want to see a mano-a-mano brother versus brother match one of these
days. Oh, we did that.
You know?
We did that about a year and a half ago, we did a dual match. We was at a competition. He took one. He took the other. And he ended up taking third, and I took the grand champion. So I put it on him. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. But, you know, he can cook also. So, you know, that's one thing. When we go into Pit Masters, usually they got one head cook, and they got another guy that's standing in the background just kind of hovering and don't really do a lot. But, you know, he's just as much as equal as I am. And, you know, I think that's one thing that we were going to bring to the table, that we both cook the same and both have different ideas, and we can both do the same kind of stuff. So I think that'll help us out.
Well, I think you're right, man. You know, one of the things, you know me, I did a little internet shigging today. I know you're shocked.
Internet
shigging?
Internet shigging? We know how radio shigging goes with Randy Hill. So how does internet shigging with Randy go?
Well, it's like real-life porn versus internet porn, you know. You get on the internet and you look at it. But, you know, I basically I've been looking for a rib source, you know, because a lot of the stuff that we cook is product-driven, you know, and it's kind of hard sometimes to find a good product around here, you know, as far as, like,
yeah,
ribs
what,
in particular.
What do you normally find? What do you normally find, Randy? What's the average of what you normally find?
You know, what we usually do is we'll roll it to a comp. And we have a Kroger's product now. It's pretty good for an organic chicken source.
Yeah,
and
I've used that.
It
actually is real good. I like the Pilgrim's Pride, but the Kroger is actually pretty good. I've used it.
Yeah, but, you know, and that particular chicken source is pretty good. But the ribs, you know, we had a comp back in December, and I did my usual chicken stuff after it was over with. And, talked to the judges, and I asked them, I said, you know, what separated some of the things apart? What made something better as opposed to other things? And you'd be surprised. I expected them to say, like, the taste just jumped out at me, or the tenderness. They said, no, man, some of those ribs are, like, really meaty, and they're really good. And the problem here, you can't find really thick ribs. So I noticed that the S&S Tip Crew won a little trophy tonight cooking some ribs, and they were kind enough to kind of put out there who their product source was. So I laid down a whole lot of money to buy me a couple of pork butts and 4 racks of ribs. But, you know, it takes money to make money sometimes in the competition world. And, you know, and part of that is, you know, like trying to lay out that money for a dang, you know, Wagyu brisket. You know, everybody goes back and forth on that stuff. But, you know, Myron Mixon said it best. You gotta put some money out for product. You ain't going to win. You know?
Yeah, you're exactly right there. You know, it does take some money to put up. You have to sacrifice that money to get a good product. And, you know, just like what you're saying right here, you know, what was you cooking? What kind of ribs was you cooking?
We're going to Sam's, man. We're just going to Sam's and buying the tri-packs, cutting them down, hoping to God we got a good rack.
The IVPs?
The suck my balls, SMBs.
I was somewhere this weekend, and I didn't have any ribs stocked up. Didn't have any ribs. I was at an event. I was like, hey, I'm going to cook some ribs just to have and, you know, play with and cook because I love cooking ribs. It's my favorite thing to cook. And I went to Sam's. I bought some and put them up there, and I cooked them, and they was nothing like the ones I get. They was a lower quality style rib. They was not anything that I thought was great. If you use IBPs, that's your own persona. I don't know, but you know, I understand what you're saying right there. And I didn't know because I've never cooked them, but I cooked them this weekend, and you know, I just did not care for the meat quality that was in those ribs.
You know, we had a real eye-opening experience when Andy and I went up and cooked at the. We'll talk to our buddy from TSS later on tonight, but. You know, when we cooked up in Chicago, they provided the ribs for us, and everybody got the same product. And that's a real game changer, as that levelizes the field. And those ribs were off the hook great. You know, Phil Wingo was the guy that was up there judging. And, you know, Phil was up there in Chicago. And I'm telling you, dude, that makes a huge difference because I think, you know, we've been focusing a lot on taste, been focusing a lot on what we cook with. We've been focusing a lot on trying to change up flavor profiles. And probably the one thing we haven't talked a lot about is product, you know, and I've got some other buddies of mine that, you know, they'll go out and buy, they'll do a catering gig just so they can sort through 100 rack of ribs to find 3 good racks, you know.
You know, thing with us that we, you know, we can do that because, you know, I go through a lot of ribs through the week and I can pick and choose when I know I'm coming up on contests. I can, you know, get what the good ones I want, and, you know, just by looking at the rack of ribs, and all racks are not created equally. And, you know, as many as we look at, I can look at them and tell you which ones are the good ones out of that.
Can you say it one more time? All racks are not created equally?
That's right. All racks are not created equally. They are from A to D's, baby, and double E's.
I'm sorry. I just got jacked in the ass. You know, it's funny because it's really funny because we went down. I cooked in Bossier City, and I don't think nobody talks since that contest went on that Smoke on the Red. Those guys put on one hell of a contest down there. They did a great job. And I couldn't, my pit, I had a problem with my pit, so I couldn't roll it out. So I had to roll out my two little, you know, barrel smoker things. They're like $30 at Sam's or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I didn't do one of the crap except for, you know, I came in 12th in a couple things. But my
but hold on a second. You took 12th overall, right? Didn't what you took 12th overall?
Not overall. I took 12th in ribs, and I took 12th in a chicken. But I will tell you.
What did you take overall? What did you do overall?
You never know. That's the thing. When you cook IBCA, you never know. If you're not talking, you don't know.
Well, anyway, you took, I mean, 12th and 12th, you know, you took 12th and 12th on two contests.
I'm not
going to
lie.
So, I mean, you know, that's pretty impressive right there by itself, dude. You know, that's what we started out on. You know, I had one of those, that same grill you was cooking on. I had that grill sitting in my backyard for 2 years that my father gave me that he didn't ever cook on. Nobody cooked on. Hell, that's where I learned how to cook at right there. And I didn't even know the water pan existed until later on because I thought that was where you put the damn choco at, son. I'm not joking either.
I appreciate your honesty, Cody, because I think it makes a lot of people feel better because, you know, nobody always knows that stuff. It doesn't come with the rules. But, you know, the irony was I had a set of ribs down there that looked like somebody took a damn baseball bat and broke every damn bone in this pig's side. I mean, it was like, I didn't know how to cut the things, man. I didn't know you could make an S or a Q out of ribs. But, you know, but the thing about them was they were ugly. Man, they were ugly as dog. They look like a dog.
You know what? And the one thing about those IBPs that, you know, when I cooked them this weekend is that they all have curved bones in them. I couldn't even cut them. I mean, that's what was ridiculous about them. I couldn't even cut the ribs.
I know. I
almost threw them in the trash because they look pretty. They look nice. They look just like what I normally do. But when I went to cut them bad jokers, I couldn't get around the bone. I kept going, what is the deal? I look like, I ain't going to say that. But anyway, I look like a moron pretty much.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing about it was the flavor on those ribs that I cooked down at that contest was dead on. I mean, I had some really good flavor on those ribs. And, you know, I got to thank my buddy that got on here a few weeks back talking about Texas pepper jelly because I used some of that Texas pepper jelly on those ribs. That lit it up. That lit it up. It's very subtle. You know, if you taste that product just straight out of the jar, you're thinking, oh, my God, that's too sweet, too hot. But when you cook it down, and it depends on when you put it on the product, it really adds some very subtle hints of some flavors there that will set your product, what you turn into the judges apart from everybody else is, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right on that.
You know, but, you know, that's part of it. I mean, that's why I keep playing around with everything. But I'm really stoked about it. We're going to take our first KCBS comp. It's going to be a Tupelo, Mississippi against 100 other teams, you know. And, yeah, I like that. I like cooking against a bunch of teams because, you know, that makes it so much better. If you nail your stuff and you have a good day and you cook at a small comp, you're like, crap, I could have done that at a big comp and done well. So I'm really excited about going to cook at a big comp. You know, Andy and I, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to cook long meats. He's going to cook short meats. By that, I mean, I'm going to cook the pork butt and I'm going to cook the brisket. And he's cooking ribs and chicken. And
well,
we're going to try a few things different.
Hold on a second.
Every day I'm hustling.
I thought you needed that for a minute, so I figured to throw it out there for you.
No, man, I feel better about that. You know, but yeah. we're just gonna try a few different things and see how it turns out. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean you got to. You know, that's a huge contest down there. There's gonna be all kinds of people running around down there at that contest. There ain't no telling what's gonna happen down there. I know there's a lot of people.
I just have one goal. One goal always.
What's that? What's your goal?
Finish one spot ahead. Just finish up one spot ahead of Hank Baden, man.
Hank Baden. What?
I'm going to send one. It's got to be Hank Baden's ass, man. That's all I'm on. That's the whole contest.
Come on. I know he's probably listening. Out. Hank, you listening out? Call in. Randy's talking shit about his son.
Hank's awesome. And people don't know about Hank. Hank, you know, I got to spend a little time with him down here in Hot Springs. And, you know, he was the Myron Mixon before Myron Mixon, you know. Everybody hears about Myron, but Hank's been right there at the very beginning. You know, and Hank's done a lot of good stuff. He just kind of got out of the bit for a while. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Hank down there.
Yeah, I really like Hank. Hold on 1 second. Let's hold on.
Cowboy.
Pitmaster Robert Sierra is in the house. What are you doing, Pitmaster Robert Sierra?
Well, I was just trying to listen in, but I'm here
Randy was shigging off of you, so I figured I'd bring you on and let you talk for a minute about what he was shigging off of you. I know you got some good sponsors out there. I know you won't get that name out there for them, so let's go ahead and throw that one out there for them.
All right, well, you know, I want to go ahead and throw out a Compart Duroc premium pork, the Black Angus of pork. This week they helped us get a first place in ribs out of 82 teams down here in San Antonio, Texas.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Robert, I put my first order in tonight, you know, and I'm looking forward to getting it because we were just talking about how hard it is to find kind of ribs that are kind of meaty. You know, most of the stuff we get around here, it's a little bit thin. You know, and you got to really sort through a lot of product. Last pig I cooked looked like somebody beat it with a baseball bat up against just ribs because every rib was, like, going 30 different directions. So I'm pretty stoked about getting that product, man.
Yeah, I hear you. You're going to love it. It's some good pork. You know, it's, like, well-marbled, real good flavor in that pork. And I love it. You know, I've been trying to find the right combinations for it and hopefully we're getting close. I think we're getting close to it.
Now, do those things when they show up, are they already cut down to St. Louis style, and do they pull the membranes off the back and all that kind of good stuff, or do you got to trim them up a little bit?
No, when I get mine already comes St. Louis style, the membrane is pulled, but those are custom ordered for me. So I'm not sure that's the way everybody else gets them, but that's how I get mine.
So can you hook a brother up?
Yeah, I can hook a brother
up. Nah, I'm just teasing, man.
Why would he want to hook you up when he'll hook me up?
he ain't cooking against me, man. You
know? I think what helped us out this week, too, is I was wearing my maroon. I was all crunk-ified.
That's right.
I had my crunk style under my shirt.
I'm kind of mad about that because I didn't get my Crunk Style shirt yet. I'm kind of mad.
Hey,
I could have worn that
Robert,
this weekend. I didn't have no Crunk Style.
Hey, Robert, I don't think Cody's crunk worthy. What do you think, man? I thought he was, but I thought he had. Here comes the mute, baby. Actually, I got Cody's shirt. I got him to hook up. I figured I'd run into him with Memphis and May. We hook up with Hank Maiden over there cooking in his
I still got that date open. I'm holding it. I'm pushing everything away as possibly as I can to come down to Memphis in May and cook down there.
So, hey, as far as the SNS pit crew, give us a little lineup as far as what y'all's cop schedule's like. What are y'all looking at doing in the next couple of months?
Well, in the next couple of months, right now, in 2 weeks, we're going to do our first KCBS event for this year at the Basin, the Best of the Basin Championship in Midland, Texas. We're going to have a big cook-off over there. They got a good lineup coming out there from what I hear. We're going to have a lot of good things out there. So we're looking forward to going out there. Then in May, we're going to be doing our Central Texas, South Texas showdown again, down in South Texas, down in George West. We plan to go to Del Rio and in Houston. So we got some cook-offs lined up, you know. Hopefully we do like one every 2 weeks, try to.
And do y'all travel out of Texas as much to cook, or do y'all mainly stay around Texas?
We stay more in Texas. We're going to try to get out this year. You know, we are going to Kansas City this year if all goes well. We want to do one either in New Mexico or Oklahoma this year also. So we'll see. Or maybe Louisiana. We're going to see if we can try to squeeze one out there somewhere.
So now y'all cooking at the Royal this year? Is that where you're cooking in Kansas City?
Yes, that's where we're going to go cook at if all goes well.
So I got my first ever draw at the Royal, man. So we need to hook up there and lie and share some secrets, man.
There you go.
Shoot, you're ready.
Where are you cooking in Louisiana at?
Well, I'm not yet. I'm just saying I might just try to squeeze one over there somewhere. I got to look on the map or the events page, see what they got over there. But I did want to do one. Either New Mexico, Oklahoma, or Louisiana, somewhere around, just trying to get out.
Now, are you guys cooking? Are y'all cooking any Lone Star events, or y'all mainly doing IBCA down there?
Actually, we're doing Lone Star and IBCA. We just did IBCA. We've done one Lone Star this year already, or two. And we're doing both. Whatever's closer, whatever.
Now, is it just me, or does it seem like the IBCA is having a lot more competitors? I know, because everybody's like trying to bust my balls. but I mean, we had our first time comp here in Hot Springs, and I was very pleased to have the number of teams we had up here. And we traveled down to Louisiana, and they have a comp down there, and that's one of the biggest comps they have in Louisiana is that IBCA event. And it just seems to me like IBCA is kind of taking off a little bit. I mean, have you noticed that there seems to be more teams cooking IBCA events than in the past, or is that just me?
That might be true. I mean, I do believe IBCA got just much more cook-offs than Lone Star. I guess I ain't really paid attention to it, you know. So, but, I mean, they're both good associations, and we're members of both, and we'll just go cook the one that's paying better that week. You know, so that's the way I see it.
So what, just for people that, you know, Joe Blow on the street, what's the difference you notice between cooking in the IBC and the Lone Star comp? Is there very much difference?
I wouldn't say there's a much difference. They're pretty much, you know, the rules are about the same. The entry fees might be a little bit cheaper in Lone Star, you know, but other than that, you know, we turn in, depending on the size of the cook-off, you turn in 7 slices of brisket, 7 ribs, and half a chicken. And the turn-in times are usually an hour and a half apart between each meat. And they all pretty much got the same rules and guidelines.
Do you have a preference in which one you cook as opposed to Lone Star, as opposed to IBCA, as opposed to KCBS?
No, I don't have a preference. I don't follow one more than the other. You know, like I said, we'll look at the cook-off. If it looks like a good event, you know, the money's good, we'll probably go to that one. Like I said, this year, in 2 weeks, we're going to travel to Midland, which will be the furthest this year for us to go, about, it's like 300, right at 350 miles for us to go over there. And
You need to come to Hot Springs to cook at Smoke Lawn, man. We got a KPBS event here in at the racetrack on the Kentucky Derby weekend. You know, the first weekend in May.
First weekend in May. Yeah, man. That's when we got our South Texas Throwdown versus Central Texas. So
I got you, Bubba.
So yeah, we got our own little, you know, just friends from South Texas and us up here in Central Texas. We got our own little friendly rival cook-off that we do, and it just, you know, we do our own little cook-off in the cook-off. And
so you got to represent, in other words. You got to represent.
Oh, yeah, we got to represent for Central Texas, you know. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Every year, like, we'll pick one in our area, and they'll come up, and then they'll pick one wherever they want south, and then we'll go down there. And we're starting to get a little trophy made that, you know, the winners take the trophy with them for a year, and then, you know, if it switches hands or not, so. Hopefully, it won't switch too many times. It just stays with us all the time.
That's what me and Randy need to do. When he gets a trophy, start handing it around.
Yeah, I got trophy wife.
I got trophy wife.
Yeah, I think we all do, man. That's the right answer to that question. We all know the answer to that. So I got a question for you, too. So I've already shigged your pork product off of you. What kind of briskets are you cooking?
I use Sam Kane Select.
So is that like a prime, or is that like a you're not
prime to me.
What part of select don't you understand? It's a Sam Kane.
Yeah, it's a part of select.
Come on, Randy,
I'm trying to help.
Shigga with Randy is going downhill quick.
Did
you just hear me?
How did y'all figure out that? I try to play dumb, dude. I try to play stupid, so I'm not going to go full tard,
I'm fixing to bring on the Crow Brothers here in a minute, and they almost didn't come on the show because they said that Shigga with Randy, he's always wanting to shig our secrets and shig everybody's secrets. They didn't know if they want to come on the show or not. So we'll bring him on here in a minute if y'all are listening.
You know the difference between what I do and what the true shigging is? I bring it out. I'm honest about it. They got the option to say no, you know. But
there you go.
They insulted me a while ago. So, you know, anyway. I told them either I could insult them on the radio or they could come on the radio. so they'll be on shortly. After we get done with Pitmaster Roberts here, we'll be bringing on the Laney Crow Brothers, which just won some trophies at the Sam's Club a while ago. Maybe they can tell us what they're using, too. We'll see if we can get Shigga Randy on them.
There you go. Well, I can give you a little shig right there. I'll tell you something that I didn't like to use. I'll give a shout-out to my friend over there at Collins Creek. They got a real good rub. Collins Creek Barbecue out of Midland, Texas. They got a good pecan rub that you might want to look into. Good stuff.
Collins Creek Barbecue rub?
Yes, sir.
I just put it on our chat room there, so hopefully we'll get a few folks to check them out, man.
All right.
Let me ask you this. How are we going to get Pitmaster Robert Sierra out in the spotlight with all the other great barbecue cooks in the world right now? You know, I feel like he's one of the top barbecue cooks right now in the United States, and I don't think his name really carries that far right now. So how can we get him out there in the spotlight?
I don't know. Y'all can probably get me on a tour bus and let me go cook at all these places. Sponsored all the way across. That'd be awesome.
Are you going to Tupelo, Sierra?
No, sir. I won't be going to Tupelo.
Right. He's scared of the crook, man.
Yeah,
Robert's smarter. See, a lot of these guys, you know, and I get it, you just want to stay close to home. It costs so much to travel. By the time you pay all this money for these expensive products that you're using to cook with, you just can't afford it. I mean, it's $1,000 a cop. We add in your entry fees and all that kind of stuff. And even if you win, you're barely breaking even. So it ain't like any of these guys out here are doing it because they're trying to do it to make money. They're doing it because they love it. Am I right about that, Robert?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you don't love it, you shouldn't be doing it. You know, it's, you know, if you're lucky if you break even, you know. But and when you break even, you're barely catching up from the last two contests before. So it's just, you know, you just got passion and the love for it. You know, we love going out, meeting new people, cooking, trying to put out our best product every time. And that's about it. You know, we do want to win. You know, believe me. You know, we hope we can grand champion every time out. But, you know, probably not going to happen, of course. But yeah, you got to want to do it. That's the main thing. You got to do it. You know, if you don't do good, you sweep it under the rug and just go to the next one.
But, you know, you hit on something, Robert. I mean, it's not about whether you win or lose. I mean, lose ways for me or else I'd have quit a long time ago. It's about the people you meet out there on the trail. You know, it's the people that you visit with. You know, everybody's got a unique story. Everybody's got a unique background. You know what I like the best about when I cook at a barbecue competition? Ain't nobody talking about politics. You know, ain't nobody talking about politics or that other bullshit. We're just talking about barbecue. And there's something to be said about that in my mind.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. You know, either you're talking about people's secrets or trying to learn from one another or just get to know about their family, what they do, how they got started. Yeah, just about the camaraderie and fellowship of it all, I guess.
So Robert, let me ask you this. What's the coolest thing you ever saw when you cooked at a barbecue pop? What's the neatest experience you ever had at cooking in barbecue?
I would say is when I was walking back to my camp and I saw my barbecue pit, but now I don't know. I got to think of something that right now. What was the coolest thing? Man,
yeah.
It's hard to say. I had to think on that one.
That's okay, man. I didn't mean to take you off guard on that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just my mind don't. You know, my mind's like my barbecue, slow and low, man. It don't work that
way. Low and slow. Well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And I said the coolest thing I ever did was just cooking with my kids. You know, when my kids come out there and cook with me, you know, I just, there's something neat about that, you know. And they're like 16 and 14 now, and it's nice because there's no computers, there's no TVs, there's none of that kind of crap. You know, we just had to sit there. They're forced to talk to me, God forbid. You know, and I think that's just a really cool thing about barbecue. I see a lot of people out there cooking with their kids now, and I think that's a neat thing.
Yeah, it is. My little girl want to get into that. You know, I'm going to support her all she wants. So I know one thing I do like about it, like when I'm getting ready to come home, I'll call home, and first thing she asks me, Dad, did you win? Actually, she would say, Babe, did you win? So, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, I always like, you know, hearing her, you know, tell me.
You say Creole kid, no? That's what I say. My Spanish is somewhat limited, as Robert is aware of, you know. But
my English
really
is a little bit limited. I've been learning how to speak pig Latin.
Pig Latin.
Yeah, pig Latin.
Man, Robert, I appreciate you calling in tonight. It's always good to hear from you, and I really want to get hooked up with you guys on the barbecue trail someday because, you know, there's just so many friends out there, man. I mean, I wish I could just have a comp with all my friends, you know, and hope we all tie for first, you know?
There you go. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, my friends, man, if we don't win and they win, I'll be the first one to congratulate them. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, you can't put them on and they win and you win. We're all happy for each other. You know, we'll compete during when it's time to turn in. But once it's turned in, it's all, you know, we're all rooting for everybody, you know.
Hey, as long as we beat Cody's ass.
Yeah, as long as y'all beat my ass, it's fine. They don't make a big deal.
So once again, Robert, anything else you want to mention by way of sponsors or products?
Well, you know, I can mention Top Chef. You know, They got some good rubs in there, micro custom blending if you got the rubs. We think they're taking care of. Homemade Collision has been.
Damn, Randy, what are you doing, son?
I'm making a lot of noise.
Let me put him on mute for a minute. All right, go ahead, Sierra.
All right, so yeah, like I said, Homemade Collision out here in San Marcos, where they meet the friendliest people by accident. Crown Trophy in Austin that makes all my trophies, even when I don't win one, I'll come home with one. But, yeah, just all damn, you know, like I said, I want to give a shout out to Concrete Barbecue Rub and Compart New Rock Pork, you know, for the best pork in the business right there.
Yep. Well, brother, I appreciate having you on. I'm about to bring the Crow Brothers on from Texas, so just stay on the line and listen. All right, brother?
All right, I will. Hey, well, okay, and we'll say good luck to you whenever you're on the show.
Appreciate it, my brother.
All right, we'll talk to y'all later.
We got Delaney and Wayne Crow from Texas, the twin brothers that are insulting me and kind of upset because we knocked their slot out of Barbecue Pitmaster. So I had to rub that in right there a little bit since you gave me an insult a little bit earlier today.
They don't seem to my brand. Them chickens, the first place we got this weekend made it a little better.
That's right. Done won some trophies down at the Sam's Club this weekend. Which Sam's Club event was y'all at this weekend?
Westworth Village.
Y'all going to have to get along with the show now. Westworth Village in Fort Worth?
Yeah.
Right. What y'all win down there? Y'all want to go first? Was it brisket and a first and
pork?
Chicken?
Pork? First and pork. First and first and brisket. 19th in chicken and 20th in ribs.
There you go right there, Randy.
I think.
Yeah, we took a whooping on chicken and ribs.
Oh, is there Randy? Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought I was on mute. That's why I was being quiet.
I unlocked you. Get out of here, guys. Show chicken. I'm just messing with you.
So you guys won the Sam's Club event. Where's the regional going to be at next? Where y'all cooking at next, dude?
Midwest City, Oklahoma.
Did y'all do anything, like, special for the Sam's Club thing, or did y'all just kind of bring your usual game to it?
Same as we always cook, but this was our very first KCBS event.
So this is this is something we need to be talking about, because I told Cody this is huge. This is your first ever KCBS comp, and you guys go in there and kick everybody's ever loving ass. I mean,
and
that's a big deal
overall. But we sure kicked brisket and pork.
Have y'all ever cooked what other comps have y'all cooked? Obviously, you said you've not ever cooked KCBS. Have y'all ever cooked any other barbecue competitions before?
Lone Star. IBCA, Texas. That's pretty much it.
So did you find, cooking at KCBS, did you find it to be a lot, anything different about it? Was it easier, harder? Did you do anything different than you do for a loan? Because you said you do your usual stuff, and it's a loaded question because I know what y'all usually cook. And, you got to cook all that damn lettuce boxes. Did y'all make lettuce boxes up, or did you just turn the stuff in without any garnish?
No, it was
lettuce boxes. We had lettuce boxes, and it's really a pain in the ass to make them.
Which one of y'all?
This is Wayne. Which one of y'all made the last boxes? Wayne, did you whoop up on your brother and make him do?
No. He's more, I guess you'd call OCD.
I got one of those.
So he he's over there with scissors trimming it up, you know, making it look pretty.
Yeah. And my wife helped as well.
And Amanda,
he had to throw it in because his wife's listening. He didn't get put on the couch tonight.
Them two really done the boxes. I don't really do boxes because I got big hands and I'm a big clumsy retard. So, you know.
What'd you cook, Wayne?
Chicken and pork.
Chicken and pork.
Yes, sir.
So you got one first place and your brother got the other. That's what we do. Usually I cook ribs and I cook chicken and my brother cooks pork, and then we get a guy that cooks brisket, and if he's not there, my brother cooks brisket. So, you know, y'all kind of do it the way we do it then.
You know, I did find out that the chicken's a lot more technical as far as KCBS versus Lone Star. I have learned to hate thighs, you know.
Yep, exactly.
I've learned to hate them. Half chickens are smooth and easy. Thighs are a pain. They are no fun.
Randy tell you the same thing.
Them either to make them easy.
You know.
Pan fried them or did not pan fry them?
You don't have to pan fry half chickens to make them taste good.
Oh, so you pan fried your chicken?
You don't have to.
You gotta go there, man. Nah, man, they're dead ass off, man. I just try some different stuff every now and again. I wish I could have. If you ever tried, man, it's like one out of three times you're gonna nail it. Two out of three times you're gonna blow it. You know, so you just gotta keep that in mind when you're trying to do that kind of stuff. You know, and
I'm gonna put mine up in a cast iron skillet like I'm making biscuits. I'm gonna cook it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd advise it, particularly if you get on Pitmasters, do that. It brings you a lot of luck on Pitmasters.
Yep.
The new game changer that Michael McDermott came out with. Have you seen that yet? The cast iron.
Yeah, I've seen it. I haven't used it, but I've seen it. It's only probably like 4 inches long.
Yep, I bought one this weekend.
Oh, you bought one? Did you use it in your Sam's Club?
No. I guess I probably should have. It might have.
That's basically what it is a cast iron skillet made into a tube. I have a tube.
Yep. It is. It looks just like that, to a T.
Looks like a piece of 2-inch 3/8 casing cut in half. Really. But it might work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they ain't figured out. So, go ahead, Randy.
Well, I tell you, man, that cast iron stuff will work, but, I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's really, really hard. You got the thing I did wrong about it, and I'm going to tell everybody, you can chug off of me. But, you know, you got to get your oil temperature right. You got to practice it 100 times. And you can get skin that's just bite through, that's just awesome, and it's crisp. And it's really hard to do that. And the judges aren't supposed to judge off of that. I mean, some of the smartest people I know that's cooking these things are taking the damn skin off the chicken. Just take it out of the equation. There ain't nothing there to judge, you know. But I don't like that. I think that we ought to be able to go out there and take some chances. You know, one of the chances I'm thinking about taking next week when we cook in Tupelo, I may not put a damn piece of lettuce in the box. I might just turn in a couple of bare-ass boxes and see how it goes because they're not supposed to judge off of that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an awful big contest to take that big of a risk.
Yeah.
My balls hang low.
Mine do too, but still, I ain't stupid.
That's like enough for muffins.
So basically the proportion of how low your ball's hanging is directly proportional to how stupid you are, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm not a math wizard.
Mind reading.
No, you've probably seen enough of them in your day.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, ooh. I'd like to go one day in my life without having to stick my finger up someone's ass. It would be a red letter day in my world. And that's all
that's
I got to
great.
Say about that. So whenever you think your day is sucking, just remember that one little nugget of niceness, you know. But I digress.
Yeah.
Damn. And if y'all didn't know, Randy is a proctologist doctor.
Oh,
I was fixing to ask that. What makes you decide to you want to go into business looking at buttholes?
Get him, Ryan. Get him.
I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a proctologist, but I do have to do.
Not a proctologist.
I have to do family. I got to sometimes check out if your family's up your ass.
That's right. He's a family doctor.
Yeah, but we digress, Cody. We digress.
No. As long as both your hands ain't on my shoulder when you're doing it, we're all right.
Yeah, sounds like you got a different doctor. But anyway, you know.
We got another Texas number in. Is one of y'all's wives listening in tonight?
My wife is.
Possibly.
I don't know if.
Did she call into the show? I got another 90. Well, maybe it ain't Texas. Let's see who this is real quick. I don't have this number down. Let's see. I don't know who it is. Let's check and see who this is. 904-673-4973. Who's 904? Saying, damn it.
I don't know. 940s. Texas.
904. I don't know who it is, but it sounds like they're nailing a hammer in the background. So let's put them on mute since they didn't get in. So anyway, we'll figure it out.
They're nailing a hammer.
It's what it sounded like.
I used to refer to it as hammering a nail, but just call me old-fashioned.
There you go. It works better that way.
So
Sam's Club was fun. You know, we were one of two teams that did not have an RV, a trailer, a camper, some type of vehicle to sleep. Nothing. We slept out under
a tent.
Easy up. Yeah.
Texas style,
so we
huh?
probably got an hour sleep that night, and everybody else slept like babies.
Yeah, we didn't get no sleep.
It sucks for the drive home. It sucks for the drive home, but if you took that first place, you're good for about the first 20 miles.
Yeah. We were fine on the way home.
I'm good till about Jacksboro.
Well, I want to tell you guys, though, something. My hats are really off to you guys, because if y'all enter your first KCBS comp and go in there and kick everybody's ass, man, that's awesome. And you know, I'll be pulling for you guys to cook your next comp. And I'm the same way. When I roll into comp, I ain't got no big-ass rig. I ain't got all kind of crap. I got a cot. I sleep by my pit, you know, and you pay attention to the pit. And the thing people got to realize is, you ain't got to have some big-ass rig to beat people. You know, you just have to be attentive to what you're cooking, and you got to have some knowledge of what you're doing, and you got to be a little bit lucky sometimes. And, you know, again, that's my world. I don't know if it's your world. But I think you guys are about to make a big splash on the scene. We're glad to have you on the show tonight talking about it.
Well, thank you. We picked up a couple sponsors this year, so that helped us out a lot. It eases the money, anyway, to get your meat and your rubs to come in.
So y'all don't use those own rub? Do y'all buy stuff?
No, everything, of course, is either store-bought, internet-bought, you know. Walmart,
yeah,
wherever we got to get it at.
You still got a chance, Randy. You still got a chance, huh?
I got to do a little shigging, man. Where are y'all getting y'all's meat product? You don't have to answer at any time with Shigging or Randy. You can just say, hey, dude, piss off. But, you know, as far
ahead,
as your
Wayne,
meat product.
I'll let my brother go
first. I'd rather hear that. I'd rather hear y'all tell him, piss off, Randy.
No, man. You know, suck on these. No. They, our new sponsor, you know, is Oak Ridge, and I'm gonna tell you, he's got some real good product, real good product.
They expound a little bit more. What is Oak Ridge? What do they sell?
Yeah,
for people that are in the barbecue world.
I've been hearing a lot about Oak Ridge lately, and I'm gonna try to get them on the show next week. I already had this show lined up, but I'm gonna try to get in contact with them next week. Been hearing a lot about their products, and we'll try to get them on.
I'm going to tell you, it's pretty good stuff. And two, you know, on his way, I think it's 10% goes to Wounded Warriors, you know. And that's pretty cool, you know.
Tell us what Oak Ridge is. Are they a meat producer? Are they a rub producer? What do they give you guys?
They're our rub sponsor.
He's our rub sponsor.
Right.
Right. So they have a Black Ops brisket rub. Unbelievable. Unbelievable flavor and smell.
Black Ops brisket rub, you can get that at Oak Ridge, and you can take
Oak
first at Sam's Club.
It will help you take first at Sam's Club, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, since we're going to go full-board shig tonight. Do y'all inject your briskets, or do you not?
Of course.
Yeah. A lot of people out there don't. You'd be surprised.
It's one bite barbecue. It's not a one brisket barbecue. You know,
right.
If you have one chance to impress them, it better taste everything you can dream of and more.
Well, the other question I have, since we're on briskets here and you guys cooked the KCBS comp for the first time ever, did y'all turn in burn ends or did y'all just turn in slices?
Slices.
Slices. No burn ends.
No. I didn't even.
Then what?
I cut it all away. Just. Slices only.
And that's how y'all usually do it, correct?
Yeah.
And that's how y'all usually do it.
That's all we do in Texas anyway, so not too many, at least the people that I've ran around and cooked against, you know, like in Lone Star, you can't even turn in burn ends. So.
Right.
It's
interesting.
That much better. I don't want to hurt myself by putting something in I've never, you know. I mean, I can cook burn ends, but my burn ends do not taste as good as my slices.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, because you guys cook down there in Texas. You're about to go up to Oklahoma. You're working your way up towards Kansas City. And are you guys cooking in the Royal this year?
Yes.
You know, it'll be interesting because, I mean, I think if you're cooking the Royal, you better turn in burn-ins. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I will not. I can 100% tell you I will not.
Let me ask you this.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with
it. Hold on. Now, Randy, do you turn in real burn-ins or do you turn in fake burn-ins?
I turn in real burn-ins, dude. I ain't nothing fake about me except my bullshit.
Do you know the difference between fake burn-ins and real burn-ins?
Yeah, it's the point in the flat. And you can trim the edges off the flat if you want to, and turn those in as so-called burn-ins. See, I know my stuff. I've been out there.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't know that stuff, so we're working together.
I'm glad you're pointing that out. But to me, the best part of a brisket, I think, are the burn-ins. You know, it's like the bubble gum of brisket, you know? I mean,
I enjoy it as well, but I also like to look trim.
Yeah, I like a little trim too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude.
That's right. If you get a little chubbier, you may not get as much trim. So
that's right.
Hey, you are digressing to our world.
That was a jab towards me, I guess. See, he's the skinny one. I'm the fat one.
That's the way it works, brother. When you got twins, that's the way it works. You got one baby,
you got one
smaller.
I want to give you a little thing, though. One of the things you could technically do if you wanted to, if you, like, sucked your, you know, we've all done this, our brisket turned in, it was lower done, you could always take that brisket, chop it up, you could add a little bit of, you know, sour cream or whatever, you know, horseradish or whatever. You could roll that shit up in horseradish.
Hold on a minute.
I'm telling you, I'm going out there, dude.
Are you talking Iron Chef shit now? Who the hell turns in a brisket with cream cheese?
I'm telling you, dude.
It's not illegal.
He's making a quesadilla.
It's like the other thing you do, you can turn in chicken salad. Yeah.
You can. You can turn in chicken salad. There's no rule against you can turn in chicken salad. And I'll be honest with you, I make a pretty good chicken salad. I might try that next time. Just to be
I'll tell you where I'm going with this. I'm thinking that one of the things I'm considering doing, I know it's out there, and I'm a crazy guy. I'm thinking about turning in the box that's bare of all garnish. And I think about taking my brisket and chopping up some portion of that brisket and just laying that down flat in the plate, you know, and then kind of using that chopped brisket as a garnish instead of using lettuce, using chopped brisket as a garnish, and then putting in my burn ends. I think I'm a dumbass.
You know what? I think this is the thing right here. The knowledge of the judges is what's going to hurt you. The knowledge of the judges. It is the lack thereof that, you know, it's not what you're doing is wrong. It's not what you're doing is not going to work, because it will work. But it's the lack thereof of the judges that's not going to work for you, and you're going to screw yourself, basically. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's against KCBS rules, because any meat you put in the box has to be 6 portions minimum.
Right.
Well,
you know what
if
I mean?
If he chops it up, he's going to have 30 portions in there. It ain't going to
make him fill them up.
What I'm talking about doing is you'd have your burn-ins. You'd have 6 portions of burn-ins minimum. You'd have your 6 slices of the brisket, and then you chop up the rest of it, and you use it as garnish, because then you're using the whole damn piece of brisket. You know, and that's I realize this is a little crazy. It's a little out there. And, you know, maybe not use any garnish at all.
I think it'll be better.
Please let me know how it turns out.
If you do a pork box like that, I think it would be better for a pork box. I don't know so much about the brisket box, but I think it would do real well.
I think it'd go over like a fart in church. That's what I think.
Uh-huh. Loud hell. They'll open up that box and go, DQ. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
1-1-1.
Well, but I'm just telling you, the thing about it is, with me, I'd rather try something out
cook.
There.
We got a dude cook.
Yeah, but I know it's crazy, but it's just something to think about.
It does, but hell, when you pay up $1,000 to go to a contest, it's not really I'm going to risk anything. There's a lot of
you
stuff I want to try, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, just go get you some hay or alfalfa and throw in there.
I don't want no damn barbecue condom on my food. You know, I want to put it all out there, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not big on garnishing. I don't think they should judge it. I don't think they should judge you on your meat only.
They don't judge you on garnish. They do not judge you on garnish. 100%, there's no rules that say they should charge you on garnish. They're only supposed to judge you on the meat. The garnish is not even supposed to be judged. But it's like putting a woman in some high heels. You know, she's standing there naked. You put her in some high heels, that's some garnish right there. So, you know, that's the whole point right there. What makes it look better? So, you know, you're still going to look at them high heels no matter what. So, you know, you're going to judge her. So, anyway, that's just my point of view.
I just started liking garnish.
The presentation looks better. I hate doing boxes, but it looks 100 times better in something green
what?
Than it ever would with a little.
Well, go ahead and post them up on Facebook so everybody can see them.
No, I think I lost all those pictures. I don't.
They disappeared.
I don't know what happened.
Have you been on the website? Have you been looking at the boxes on the website? Is that what you've been doing?
Barbecue Critic?
Yep.
Well, maybe I'm a judge on Barbecue Critic.
There we go. There we go, right there.
the other thing about it that you don't think about with the garnish is when you're a judge and you're sitting there and you're picking up a piece of meat out of a box, and you got all this damn lettuce connected to the meat. You got to pick all that shit off and then eat the meat. You know, and my whole take on that is, if I was a judge, I mean, we've done some boxes where we didn't, like, put a putting ring down. We just kind of sprigged around it. And I think that works out better, because then you don't have to pick all that damn green shit off your meat. You know, maybe it's just me. I don't know. I'm kind of crazy.
Maybe you should go get some AstroTurf and cut it out to fit that box perfect and put it
there
in.
You go, boo. There you go.
Yeah.
Now you're talking, you know.
Then just tell them to give it back. That way you can wash and reuse it.
Yeah.
You wash and reuse
I know a few teams have turned in some boxes that we call bear boxes without any garnish, and they've actually done fairly well. And you know, I was like you guys. I was like, you're going to turn in the box without garnish? You're crazy. But, you know, I've got some thoughts. I want to try to shake a few things up. I may, You know, when I got on that Pitmaster show, my whole thing was I'm going to go hard at it. You know, I'm going to try things. I'm going to do things that are different or weird. And I may, you know, lay a turd, which I kind of did. But, you know, I'm going to try. And the same things as we do some things with the barbecue this year, I'm going to try a few things different, just see how they go. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Well, Sam's Club was fun. It was a blast.
Weather sucked.
Goodie bags. People out there with TV cameras, met Johnny Trigg, met Michael McDermott, met a lot of the probably better cooks in Texas, Oklahoma. They came from South Carolina. A team came from, I mean, they were from everywhere. Saw probably the prettiest smokers I've ever seen and nicest RVs I've ever seen at a contest. That was pretty nice. And
well,
at the end of the day, we still did just fine with what we had.
Well, let me ask you this. What was they filming at the Sam's Club?
What was his name? Tim.
He runs it, whoever he is.
The guy runs it. Tim Clark. What's his name? You had him on the show, didn't you? Did you have him on the show?
No.
The guy who is over it. Tim. Oh, man, if I can't think of his last name. He was filming like a how-to barbecue for beginners, pretty much, like how to smoke meat type of thing. And he had two beautiful Yoder pellet smokers behind him. You know, unbelievable setup. And then you had Michael McDermott doing the grilling series where he was teaching people how to make a Caribbean steak. And
mm-hmm.
letting people have samples. They were giving out Coke. Coca-Cola was there. Other vendors
Troy Black.
There. That's it. That's his
yep.
name. Troy Black, that's his name. I am sorry. I had it.
That's West Texas Pitmasters right there. Well, brothers, Delaney Crow and Wayne Crow, I'm going to have to let you off the air for a little while. I got Todd Johns is fixing to come on. We're going to bring him on. Then we're going to have Phil Wingo on. If y'all want to hang on the line and listen, y'all are more welcome to. I appreciate y'all coming on, and congrats on your win over at Sam's Club.
Thank
go ahead,
you.
Hey, I will say one thing before these guys go. I want everybody to realize how big a deal it was, what they did.
Yeah,
I mean, they walked in. Yeah, that was huge, guys. And my hats are off to you guys, and I think you guys are going to be really good on the barbecue trail, and we'll be pulling for you, and thanks for being on our show.
Thank you. Heads up to Oak Ridge Barbecue Rubs. Thank you. McBride Meat Markets here in town, local meat market person. My sponsor, OBGN, Dr. Hurst, Dr. Paul Hurst, real good guy. Thank y'all for helping us.
We're glad y'all won, and I'm sorry we knocked y'all out of the Pitmaster slot for the twin slot.
Son of a bitch.
I had everybody in one last time.
Bye.
Yeah, there's always next year. Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great night.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, good luck, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you. Bye.
Let me bring Pitmaster Robert Sierra back on real quick. I know he missed a sponsor. I was listening to him, and let me see. My board's locking up. Here we go. Let me get him on. Pitmaster Robert Sierra, you still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
I know you missed a sponsor a while ago. I've had you on the show enough to know that, so I want to bring you back on and let you give a shout-out to your other sponsor. I know you kind of you got so many of them. I know it's hard to remember.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. You threw me out with that question, and I just went blank. But I also want to give a shout-out to Cosmos Q, Beef Injections and Rubs. He also got some real good stuff. And I was like, man, I'm glad you brought it up, because when I got off, I was like, man, I need to give a shout-out to Cosmos Q.
Yeah, I know it's a good sponsor for you right there.
Yes, sir. So I do appreciate it. Congratulations to them guys there in Sam's Club. That sounds awesome.
All right, brother, man.
All right, man. Well, you have a good show. I'm going to stick
around.
Well,
hang on. We're going to bring Todd Johns on the show here in a second, and then we'll have Phil Wingo on just a little bit later. But we're going to bring Todd Johns on right now. I know Randy's excited to bring Todd Johns on.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, he's got a great product.
Yep. Let's go ahead and bring him into the show.
Oh, hell no!
with Fly Boys Barbecue is in the house. How we doing, Todd Johns?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
How was the hockey game?
The hockey game was great. We lost, but it ended in a shootout, which is always fun. And my boys just finished up skating with the team, which is really cool. They always love that.
Yeah, you got on a little bit earlier than what I expected you. I figured you wouldn't be on until about the 8:30 hour. But, hey, we got him in early so everybody can listen to him.
I'm sitting in the parking lot in the car.
That's all right.
And the police are wondering, who's this guy talking to on the phone? Why is he acting crazy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, man, I want you to talk a little bit about your products because I've used some of them, and I really like the jerk that you use for your chicken. You know, right now, do you have anything new in the pipeline? I mean, you develop anything new for comps? What's going on?
Yeah, we do. We've got some. Well, we've got some things in the pipeline, but they're for another purpose. They're probably, you know, some of them might make their way out into the competition world, but we haven't announced this yet, so I'm just going to drop it right now for the first time. We're opening a restaurant in Kansas
City.
Public announcement.
Yeah. Go ahead and throw it out there.
So we're going to open Plowboys Barbecue here in Kansas City this summer, and it's been in the
wow.
works for a few months. And so we're working on some things for the restaurant that we'll also go to market with. People can buy, you know, we need to expand our sauce line. Right now we just got, you know, sweet sauces, but, you know, we've got kind of a sweet version of a Kansas City sauce, but we need more of a traditional, what I think is a more traditional tomato-based sauce, which we're working on, and some other things for the restaurant that we'll be able to do. But, you know, our goal is to only use Plowboys products, and everything that we use in the restaurant you can buy commercially. So we'll see if some of that stuff makes out in the competition space or not. It's I tell you what, it is getting harder and harder to, you know, to compete with the competition cooks because there's so many people coming with products this year. I got a ton of calls and emails and stuff that over the off season, starting probably in about October, you know, hey Todd, you know, can you help me figure out where I need to go to find a bottler, to find a label person, to find someone to design something for me, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just blown away by how many people I've heard come talk to me about bringing stuff out. So it's getting harder and harder to stay on that shelf.
Let me ask you this real quick. Do you find it you're competing against more people using your own products? What's it like competing against people that's using your own products? You know,
you know what? It's pretty cool, and it's pretty cool when you're competing against people who use your own products, because in a way, you know, even if you don't win, you have one, and it's pretty satisfying. When we started doing this, a little over we're on 5 years right now. April of 2007 was when we launched Yardbird, and just to see a shaker rub with our logo on it on a store shelf was just mind-blowing. And, you know, to hear people just today, if you go out to my Facebook, Todd Michael Johns on Facebook, I was on YouTube and came across a video of Killer Hogs doing a little demonstration on chicken, and there's our rub sitting there. You know, it's pretty surreal, and it's really cool when you all of a sudden see your rub, something that you've made, show up somewhere unexpected. It's really cool.
Well, I had a question about, you know, you mentioned KCBS-style barbecue, and, you know, we got a lot of people listening tonight. Can you give us what would be the definitive description of what KCBS-style barbecue is?
KCBS or Kansas City style?
I'm sorry, Kansas City style. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, Kansas City style. Burnt ends is the first thing that comes to mind when I think Kansas City. Burnt ends were kind of invented here. They're a staple in every restaurant. And so, you know, we get a cross section of everything. I was just talking with someone yesterday about if there's still anyone, and actually it was Dan at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. We were talking Friday about whether there was still anyone here in town that does mutton. And I mean, you can find anything from, you know, pork to beef to lamb ribs to mutton, and I think we're just kind of that melting pot of different, you know, of different proteins. But you know, our sauce is not, you know, real vinegar. It's not real tomato. It's not real sweet. It's just kind of a blend of everything and a balance. And as you go around to different barbecue, you know, the old joints like Gates or Bryant's or, you know, places people probably don't know from out of town like Rosedale's and places like that, you tend to run into, I think, one of the signature things, and we put it in our bovine bold rub, is celery seed. And
Yeah, I noticed that.
If you eat at some of the places like Gates, you know, they tend to put some celery seed in their beans. You can really tell it in their beans. Rosedale's puts a little cinnamon in it. And so those are some things I think are kind of distinctive to a few of the older places here. And so in our bovine bold rub, to me, that's my kind of homage to Kansas City is bovine bold, because we put some of those things, the celery seed and the cinnamon in there. And, you know, just enough that it accents, but, you know, that, like I said, that's kind of my, you know, shout out to Kansas City is that rub.
Now, if some out-of-towners are coming into Kansas City, other than your place, what place would you recommend for them? We was up there and we just kind of jumped around to a couple places. We didn't know a whole lot about Kansas City. Whoever's listening out, if you go to Kansas City, what place would you recommend for, you know, to eat Kansas City barbecue?
Yep. My first recommendation is Oklahoma Joe's. I think that is hands down the best across-the-board menu in town. I don't think you can find anything on their menu that's bad. To me, they have the best French fries in all of Kansas City, not just barbecue joints. They've got their spare ribs are great. You know, a lot of barbecue people that cook at home, cook competition, don't eat out. I do, and now that we're open the restaurant, I've been eating out a lot.
Right.
But I think Oklahoma Joe's is great. There's a new place, fairly new place here in town. It's real small. It's very off the beaten path, called John Russell's Barbecue. John Russell's is a barbecue team. They've been around forever. Frankly, I never had heard of them until the restaurant, and then I come to find out, you know, they've been competing for over 20 years, and I just had never really run into them or noticed them or whatever. But you know, he's a trained chef. You go in, there's all the KCBS, you know, awards there from the American Royal and the Lenexa Barbecue, and they do a great brisket burn-in sandwich. What he does is he'll take his burn-ins and throw them on the flat top and re-crisp them up a little bit before he puts them on the, you know, the French roll. And I've heard that when they started, they had, you know, a whole bunch of different, like, gourmet-type sauces to try that they did in-house. But to me, those are two of the better ones I've been at here in a long time. And they're kind of, you know, John Russell's is off the beaten path, and Oklahoma Joe's, they've been around for a while, but compared to Gates or Arthur Bryant's, they're a newcomer. Anything under 20 years is a newcomer in this town.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, too, though. Everybody thinks that Kansas City style is supposed to be sweet. Do you think it's all sweet, or what do you think?
No, I don't think it's sweet at all. You know, compared to other places, it probably is on the, you know, but they're on the far end of the spectrum. But, you know, we're not a Lexington or a South Carolina or something like that. But I think it tends to be like our sauces tend to be more tomato and smoky, with a little bit of chilies in them. They're not hot. You can find some spicy sauces here in town. Usually every restaurant has kind of the middle of the road tomato vinegar, but not anything real tart. You know, the sweet just kind of balances out the tartness. It isn't all sugar.
Right.
And then every joint has their own spicy version. But you couldn't find a mustard sauce in this town to save your life. And, you know, people just don't eat mustard in this town.
And would you want to buy one?
Would I want to buy one?
Yeah.
A mustard sauce?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to probably offer one. We'll see how it goes. It won't be our big... Like I said, people just don't put mustard on their barbecue here in this town, but we're going to offer one up, see, you know, just to kind of round out. I want to have some different sauces at the restaurant. The sweet, the vinegar, the mustard, the what I call the Kansas City style spicy, and just give everyone a
right.
little variety. So,
so what is your best-selling rub that you sell?
Yardbird is hands down our best product. And for a while I was real focused on trying to bring more products to market and fill the shelf more. You know, I would look at, you know, people that I look up to and people that I'm competing with, like Dizzy Pig, right? You walk into any place selling Dizzy Pig and they got a whole shelf dedicated because those people got, you know, Chris has got 20 damn products sitting there. Or OBQ or somebody like that. And that's the thing is when you're – for anyone out there that's wanting to come to market with something, you got to – your bottle has to sell, not just what's in the bottle. There are so many good products out there that have a crappy label that don't stand out, that have no brand. And then there are some products out there that have a really strong brand but are crappy products.
You know, that's a great point right there you make up because a lot of people don't understand that. Everybody wants to push their product to market, and they always go, well, I got the best sauce, but it don't mean anything if you don't have the advertising or the good logo or the good label on that barbecue sauce to sell it. And a lot of people do not understand that and get that into the market. And, you know, that's a prize point right there that a lot of people do not see.
It's all about brand, and you got to have a brand, and if you don't have one, you better figure out how you can get one. And if you don't, it's going to be a long road, and it's going to be a lot of hard work. And, you know, it's a whole lot of hard work regardless, but, you know, if you don't – I mean, look, Rod Gray just came out with Eat Barbecue. Rod's got a huge brand before he even put a product out. And,
well,
you know, I think –
Well, you brought that up real quick. I want to talk about that real quick. Since you brought, have you tried it?
I've tried both of the sauces. I haven't tried the rub.
Let me ask you. I tried both the sauces, and I'm going to ask you this, and I want you to be honest with me. I tasted both the sauces, and one tasted straight-up Blues Hog, and the other one tasted like a bullseye with some add-on on to it. What was your opinion on?
I didn't get that at all.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember which one's which, but I want to say
I don't remember the names.
And if I get it wrong, it's because I only tried them once, and they were just out of the bottle. I haven't cooked with them or anything. And that's the thing, you know, you can try something on the bottle, and then you cook with it, and it is different. But I thought the IPO was good. If I remember right, that's the one that's a little tangier. And it did remind me, I wouldn't say it's Blues Hog. To me, it's
this kind of had the feel of Blues Hog. That's what I'm trying to say. It kind of looked and tasted like the Blues Hog to me. You know, it had the feel to it.
Yeah, to me, it had a little more vinegar bite to it. And so to me, it was like, you know, when all of us have taken Blues Hog Tennessee Red and mixed it with our other favorite sauce, whatever it is. And that's kind of what it was like. And I wouldn't call it a straight copycat, but it did remind me of that.
Yeah, it's what, you know, I tasted it, and it's what it reminded me of was a Blues Hog. You know, that's what it straight up reminded me of right there was Blues Hog.
Yeah.
So. And usually his game gets thrown up at least once in the show for reason, but I don't know why, but you know, I just had a chance to try them this weekend. I thought they was really good sauces, but, you know, it just reminded me of Blues Hog. Another one kind of reminded me of kind of that bullseye flavor, you know, that the straight-up bullseye. But it had some add-ons into it, but it had that, like, the bite of that bullseye. So, I don't know if you know what bullseye is.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you
got
like
one.
Are y'all going to keep cooking competition? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Are you guys going to keep cooking some comps? Are you just going to focus more on the restaurant or what?
No, we're gonna keep cooking, but you know, as we start up, there's gonna be a ton of focus on making sure that we have a good launch, making sure that we are watching our margins, making sure we're profitable, making sure you know people aren't robbing you blind in the front door and the back door and all that. So there's gonna be we're going to take our focus even more this year off of competitions. We'll do some, but honestly, I don't know how many we'll do. Our goal is to launch midsummer. We're hoping for a July 1st launch. It might be August 1st, depending on how, you know, construction and everything goes. But we're gonna do the Royal. You know, we're in for the Invitational again this year, next year. We're grandfathered in for the next 2 years. When you win the Invitational, you get a 5-year open invite to the Invitational. And the last 3 years, we actually qualified the last 3 years, but this will be our fourth, and then next year will be our fifth. So we'll always do the Royal, and there's a contest here in Blue Springs where we live. And we'll always do that one. Now that we have the restaurant will be in Blue Springs, and we're in a town, a suburb of Kansas City, about 55,000 people, and there's one barbecue restaurant. And in this town, that's pretty sparse. You know, only one.
Yeah. That's insane, man. Where are you from?
So we've got, we're kind of on the outskirts. We've got a good rural area outside of us. And where we're at, we're going to be probably 3 miles from the other restaurant. So we've got a great location. We're going into an old Wendy's that's vacant, and we're buying it and moving in there. So we're going to retrofit that Wendy's into Plowboys Barbecue.
So if you were going to give some advice to people trying to cook in a barbecue comp, you know, their first time out, what
sure.
advice would you give them?
Practice first and do what you practiced. Competition barbecue is, it's definitely one part process, and process comes from practice. And then it's another part details. And you, if you're not OCD, learn how to be OCD. You know, when the lines aren't straight, you just have to go straighten them. My sister lives another state away, and she got to come to a barbecue contest this summer, and it was probably one of the few she's ever been to, and she saw me doing my turn-in boxes. And she was just like, could not believe how detailed everything was. And that, you know, that was the thing that struck her, was how kind of meticulous and detailed all the little things are. I've had people come, when I pin my chicken, I use little stainless steel skewers. And when I'm getting ready to even do my chicken, I start laying things out. And my skewers, I pull out 15 skewers, and I lay them all out so they're all even in a row. I mean, it's just this habit of OCD that I don't know if I had it before barbecue, or I learned it and now I'm afflicted with it, or what. But you have every little detail is given up, even, you know, 0.001 of a point is, you know, you can be given up in some little detail somewhere. So be meticulous, practice, and then do what you practice. Don't go off the reservation, because you start going into uncharted territory, and, you know, changing your recipes, changing your process right there on the spot. And, you know, unless you've got, you know, 10, 15 years under your belt, you don't have the experience to move out of your process and know what's going to happen. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But from a flavor standpoint, what's
mm-hmm.
the difference between what you do in a barbecue competition as opposed to what you do in a restaurant?
because I think, you know, it's the one bite thing. You know, it's the one bite. You know, could you keep eating that same product? You know, a lot of food scientists say you got to make something that makes people want to overeat. You know, override the amygdala, so to speak. So, what do you see as the difference?
Well, we've been catering for several years, and our catering business has grown and grown. And my wife has been managing our catering business for the last 2.5 years, and it grew a lot this year as well. And one of the things that helps our catering business is our food isn't that far from our competition food. We use the same ingredients, and we've learned, again, practice, you know, catering and serving the masses versus serving six judges, it's the same process. It's about having high standards and practicing what you do until you do it well enough that everyone's happy. And so we've got the transition from competition to catering was figuring out, you know, how do I do, instead of two pork butts at the quality that I've got, how do I do 60 pork butts and, you know, not put in the same amount of labor because I probably don't have time, but to have them turn out, you know, better than just if I rubbed them, smoked them, and threw them out on a table. And so there are certain things that we do in the as we've been catering that will transition well to the restaurant. You know, things like when you're in competition, a lot of people will wrap their food, right? And they'll individually foil every brisket and every pork butt. And when you're doing two pork butts and two briskets, which is what we do, that's not so labor intensive, and that's fine. And you're pouring a bunch of other ingredients in that foil, and you're injecting, you know, with different things. When you're doing 60 pork butts or 80 pork butts, that's just not feasible. But what we do is, you know, we'll take we do smoke on wheels pork marinade in competition. And we'll put a pretty healthy dose of that.
I'm sorry. Do you mind repeat that one more time? What do you use?
Yeah, sure. for our pork, we use smoke on wheels pork marinade. And so that's what we use in competition. That's actually what we use in catering, too. The difference is I don't use, like, a whole pint bottle for two pork butts in catering. But when our pork hits the same spot it does in competition, say 150, 160 degrees, we'll take three pork butts, put them in a pan, pour a little bit of that smoke on wheels on top of that, and then foil them up. And so it's less labor to do it that way. It's not as meticulous as doing it in competition. But what I'm doing is I'm adding some of those flavors that I already like, that other people already like, and I'm retaining all that moisture. And, you know, barbecue to me is all about moisture first and taste second. There was a good conversation.
That sounds like my love life.
Yeah. I hear you there, brother. There was a good conversation Matt from Left Coast Q had on his Facebook page this last week about, you know, what do you focus on? Do you focus on appearance, taste, or tenderness? You know, first, second, and third. And I always tell people, focus on taste last, because taste is easily accomplished. You can, you know, even if you don't make your
own sauce. I don't mean to be like argumentative. That's the hardest thing for me to figure out, is the damn taste. You know, because the other two things are so objective. I mean, you know, you do appearance, you can make it look pretty. You know, and tenderness is, there's fairly objective things there, but that damn taste drives me crazy. Help me out with taste. I want to hear what you got to help me.
All right. So think of it this way. So if you've ever had a rib, right? Let's use ribs. If that rib's underdone, how's the taste? Do you get any taste out of it?
Crappy. No. That's what I'm saying. I can do all those things. I can make it turn out perfect with, you know, the tenderness. I can make it look very, very pretty. but the taste aspect of it eludes us sometimes.
Well, you know, it, as we're talking about a new person, right, a new cook, the first thing you need to figure out is how to cook things right. Don't get caught up in, you know, am I using the right rub? Am I using the right sauce? Those aren't the magic bullets. The first thing you got to figure out is, can I cook a rib to the right, you know, to the right point every time and not have it also look like roadkill when I go to serve it? You know, you've seen all the pictures on the Barbecue Critic and all that where, you know, the ribs or the chicken or whatever are black as coal. It may taste great, but, you know, anything that's like super dark like that or got, you know, a ton of sauce on it or whatever, immediately you've already got a strike against you that's going to, honestly, I believe, carry over to the other to the other two categories in judging. And so for me, as a competition cook, the first thing you got to do is think about moisture. And moisture is going to reflect in your flavor. If you undercook that thing, you haven't rendered enough fat, you haven't cooked that to the point where you're going to get those natural flavors out of the meat. And if you overcook it, it's going to dry out and you've lost all of it too. So to me, the very first thing and the most important thing to focus on is cooking it right. And then if it comes out, then it's cooked right, but it's bland, add a little salt, grind a little rub, put a little sauce on it. You can always doctor those things up when they're, even when they're too much. Oh, it came out too salty. Put a little sweet to it. It'll balance it out. Oh, it's too sweet. Put a little salty or put a little vinegar to it. It'll balance it out. Achieving balance is easy to do at the end with, you know, bring a coffee grinder with you and grind up some of your rub and sprinkle some of that powder on to help balance out something that's not quite right. Throw a little brown sugar at it. Throw a little vinegar sauce at it. All those things are little tweaks right at the end when something didn't come out as you thought it would. But I can't help you if you overcook your food. At that point, you're just done. If you've run out of time and your food's not done, you're toast too. So to me, it's about figuring out that repeatable process where you can turn out that quality food every time, and then then you can tweak that final flavor profile and get it in.
Well, I would tell you from what I do, you know, because I could get the two down. You know, I could get the appearance down. I mean, honestly, appearance, you can turn in a wax piece of a dog turd and get a good score for appearance because you should be able to do that, you know. And as far as, you know, tenderness, we all know how to do that. But the taste is the one thing I think that separates you. That's the thing that takes you up the next notch, in my personal opinion. And I hear what you're saying. You got to do the other things first. If you're a first-time cook, you better learn how to make it, you know, tender and all that kind of good stuff. But that damn taste, man, that's the one thing that drives us all crazy, I think, as cooks.
Let me throw this out there. Todd, you were talking about, you know, like new cooks and people overcooking food. How many people do you think that actually undercooks the food? That really don't ever get talked about from getting, you know, undercooking the food.
Probably as many as overcook it because they don't have their times down or they don't know how to manage their pit well enough. And, you know, they either started things too late or they couldn't keep that temperature where they wanted it to. And, you know, half the time they probably are overcooking it because they're overshooting their temps, and other times they're undercooking it because they couldn't keep their fire lit or whatever. So it's probably a little bit, you know, it's probably an even dose of both. I'm not in the judging tent very often, so I can't say for sure, but I've seen both happen a lot.
Man, I would not want to judge a barbecue contest. I'd like to judge a titty contest, but I wouldn't want to judge a barbecue contest.
Let me give you an example, another example of the tenderness and moisture thing. So we got invited to the King of the Smoker out in California. Big Papa Smokers put that on, and you guys were, before I came on, you were talking about garnish and not doing any garnish and all that. Well, that was a garnishless contest. And that was interesting. And they also, you know, they made us cook spare ribs. We overcooked our spare ribs because we don't cook spare ribs. We cook baby backs. And even though I practiced when we got out there, we overshot our temps and we killed our ribs, and they deserve getting beat up. But we got second in chicken. We were cooking on barrels and a backwoods. And I've cooked on a barrel like once in my life, and I've never cooked on a backwoods ever. And they were just loaner pits that we were given to use. And we pulled a second in chicken. And the whole focus of chicken that day, we knew we were going to use Yardbird Rub and Sweet 180 sauce and, you know, our products. And the whole focus was to keep moisture because we were going to be cooking over direct fire. And they gave us leg quarters, and you could do whatever you wanted. You could turn them in whole. You could turn them in parted out, all thighs, all legs, whatever you want, or mix or both. And I cooked them whole, and I didn't trim any of the skin. What I tried to do was trim enough meat away where I could wrap that skin all the way around the leg and the thigh and then pin it. And so that way that moisture didn't have anywhere to escape. And then we cooked whole. That way they retained more moisture cooked whole. And then once we went to turn them in after the sauce was set, we cut them, separated the thigh from the leg. We turned in six legs and one thigh. And we got second place with that. And again, the focus wasn't about flavor, and we didn't really use two ingredients. One, you know, our rub and our sauce. What the focus was on the tenderness, because I knew if I didn't focus on that, these pits that I'd never cooked on before were going to kill me. And so that day, you know, on that category, it paid off. We got our ass kicked in ribs, but we were happy, you know, cooking on stuff we'd never cooked before. We flew out there. We didn't have hardly any of our stuff with us. And we were happy with that. But it was, again, it was all about focusing on the tenderness, and because we cooked it right and we retained the moisture, it had a lot of flavor.
Now, do you ever cook it? I'm sorry, I just wondered, do you ever cook any Cornish game hens?
I have at home, but not in competition.
Yeah, that's the one thing we did it one time, it went over like the Bark Church. It sucked.
We did that once. That was our first contest, we cooked Cornish hens. It didn't work very well. Didn't know no better, though.
I know there's a lot of people starting to turn in legs. I think you're going to see there were a lot of them turned in last year, and I think you're going to see even more this year.
I like the legs. Well, Todd,
yeah.
I appreciate you coming on to the show. I got Phil Wingo that's fixed to come on. You're more than welcome to stay on with us. We've learned a lot of things. I've got a lot of comments from you being on the air tonight, from people sending text messages. And, you know, we appreciate you having you on. You got any sponsors or anybody that you want to shout out to tonight?
Yeah. For a long time now, Barbecuers Delight has been supporting us with pellets. And we love Barbecuers Delight. It's the only pellet we use. And also David from Butcher Barbecue. We've been trusting our butcher for a long time. And David's been great, not only in providing us product to use, but anytime we've got questions, you know, David's answered all of them above and beyond. And we've been cooking on Cook Shack cookers for a long time, Fast Eddie cookers, and they've treated us well. We kind of consider them an unofficial sponsor. You know, we don't get anything necessarily from them, but they always
right.
treat us well. Whenever we need help on a cooker or a new part or something like that, man, they always take care of us. And then Smoke on Wheels, you know, we've been using their products and do a little trade out with them and have you know done really well with the Smoke on Wheels stuff. So, you know, we're kind of self-sponsored in a way. We do get some help from Barbecuers Delight and Butcher, but, you know, we try to, you know, pay our own way and that way we're not indebted to a lot of people either. And I like that we're able to do that.
Man, I really agree. Let me say something real quick. Rand, did you hear what
yeah.
he said?
What's that?
Did you see what the main thing he was talking about right there?
What's that?
And all the rest of y'all listening? Pellet smokers.
Rabbits make pellets. Rabbits make pellets.
Let me tell you a funny story real quick, because I think I told Randy this earlier, real quick, before we bring Phil on. I was at an event this weekend. I was cooking on the Iron Man cooker, and I had the Traegers out there and the trailer all set up, and I had a guy come up, and he was like, he was looking everything over. I could tell he cooked, because you just know those people. And I said, "You're an avid cooker, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm an avid cooker." And I was like, "Yep." And he said, "Yeah, I build smokers." And I said, "Yeah, what's your name?" He said, "I'm so-and-so," and I'm not going to give his name out. And he said, "Yeah, I build them for my buddies and whatnot." And he was talking. We kept talking and blah, 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 and this and that. And then he actually starts talking about the show, Barbecue Pitmaster, and that's the only way he's going to be on it. And, you know, he come around the other side, and he was looking at everything. He said, "Well, I guess there's only one thing left for you to do." I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Get you a real smoker to cook on, like us a real pitmaster." And I looked at guy and I said, "Sir, I am a control operator and a meat master. I am not a pit master." And that man got so mad, you wouldn't even believe it. And he stormed off down the sidewalk. And I was like, "Well, that ain't my problem." But anyway, if I want to build a fire, I'll build a fire to get warm. But anyway, that's just my point.
Well, I'll claim, even though we cook on a lot of pellets, I will claim the title of pitmaster because, you know, we've got my 19th cooker that I own is coming this Wednesday.
You're
and
correct.
I've got a Santa Maria style grill from Smoker Builder and Frank Cox coming, and I can't wait to cook on that. I've got eggs. I've got a Rebel that I've been playing with that has been a ton of fun this winter. I mean, I know how to build a fire. I just choose to not do sometimes.
And we're the same way. And I know you're an average cooker to where you've got about 20 grills. I know that. And I talked to Frank this weekend. And, you know, I seen the new grill that you was getting from SmokerBuilder.com. And I actually started cook on it this weekend. I was going to say, "I'm going to cook on Todd John's cooker." He was wanting me to cook, so I was like, "I'm going to cook on his cooker." But, yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Everybody can cook on anything, but, you know, it's a choice. It is a choice to cook on what you want to cook on. And, you know, I like my pellets for what I do, and it's no different than anything with a burner, an old hickory pit, or any other pits out there. It's assisted by any other way. So, you know, that's just kind of one of those things. That's my choice.
Yeah.
But we appreciate having you on tonight. And I'll let you get back to your family. I know they're probably supposed to come out of the skating rink, and I appreciate it. And, Brandy, you got anything you want to tie up with real quick?
I really appreciate you being on the show, and we love your product. I mean, I use your product, and, you know, I love that jerk, man. That's some good stuff. I mean, I like hot, spicy, and a little Caribbean style. And, again, man, I wish you all the best. I look forward to you opening up that restaurant there in Kansas City. And for the first time ever, I'm going to get to go there and cook in the role, and then, we need to come there and check that out, man. So best of luck to you.
Todd, when do you think the restaurant will open up?
We're shooting for July 1st as a soft opening. Depending on, you know, how things go with the city and all that, you know, if we get delayed, I'm hoping it's no more than August 1st. I really want to have it open and, you know, get a couple weeks under our belt before we hit Labor Day. That holiday catering is so important to the bottom line and to your annual revenue that, you know, we got to be hitting that holiday catering and have people know about us before all that hits. So that's kind of why we're pushing so hard for that, you know, that kind of a launch.
All right. You heard it right there. Well, I appreciate you, Todd Johns, for coming on the show tonight.
Anytime.
Look him up on Facebook. I imagine they got a website, plowboysbbq.com. I'm pretty sure it is. Is that correct?
Yeah, plowboysbbq.com, but it sucks. So if anyone wants to help with that, give me a call.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks again, man.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Well, we got, speaking of jerks, we got one online, so let's bring him on. Open Gangnam Style. The other half of Southern Crump Barbecue, Andy Allen. How you doing tonight, Andy Allen?
What's up, boys?
About to bring Phil Wingo on. I figured you want to be on the show when we brought Phil Wingo in.
Well, you know, I mean,
I get a text that says, get on the show, Wingo's coming on. So, you know what I mean? You know, I got to do something, you know. So I was listening a little bit earlier, and I was like, well, you know, I mean, I'm hanging out listening, and the boys fixing to go to bed. So I was like, well, you know, I'll hang up and listen and hang up and get on the replay. But, you know, I get this text, and I'm like, well, I better check back in. So, you know. Chicken like a chicken tonight. Did some practice chicken tonight.
Oh, practice and, chicken.
Yeah, you know.
I heard y'all got some new kind of chicken out there. So let's bring Bill Wingo on real quick so everybody can listen up to him. Let's bring him on
real quick.
Randy, I'm going to let you run this one. And I'm just going to chime
That's
in. I'll let you run this
Damn.
One.
Andy and
I turn music
this,
off, it's all you when I turn the music off. Bill Wingo.
Yeah, all right. How you guys doing?
Hey, Phil. We're rocking and rolling,
Andy,
brother.
I'm glad you're able to join back in. It's good to hear from you guys down there in Southern Crunkville.
He sounded like a little girl at a concert. Phil! Phil!
Hey, man, he's an idol, you know?
We just rolled into Nashville and getting ready to get into a room here in Nashville for the night, but I'm on my last leg of the 2013 Pork Mafia road trip. So we had a lot of fun through that, and we're winding it down here in Nashville tonight and back to Chicago tomorrow.
Hey, Phil, tell us a little bit about that Pork Mafia tour that you're doing, Bob.
Well, we did. We started out the tour in Chicago. A friend of mine, Jamie Layton, flew in from Vancouver, Canada, and we got in my pickup truck and we started driving as far as we could to North Carolina. We hit about 5 or 6 barbecue joints there. Skylight Inn and Aiden went over to see Sam Jones. We stopped at Lexington Barbecue, talked to the Monks. Went on down to Scott's Barbecue, seen Rodney, and then went to the Carolina Pitmaster Barbecue School that's run by Russ Cornett and Jack Weber, and had a great time down there, and just making our way back to Chicago now. We just stopped about 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I saw that you posted that Big Bob Gibson's. One of the things I really like, you know, you post some really cool barbecue pictures and other food pictures on the Facebooks and other whatnots, and I always really appreciate that. But tell us, I mean, I know you can't give away anything proprietary, but I'm going to ask, man. At that school, did you really learn anything new, exciting, things that are going to rock your world?
You know, every time you go to one of these classes, you might not learn a whole lot, but there might be a couple tricks that you just pick up. And then as you're cooking, you pick up those little tricks and you say, hey, I'm going to try that. The little meticulous things is what makes those the extra points in your contest.
Is that kind of like putting all your metal skewers exactly in a row? Like Todd does, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that meticulous. I mean, everybody's got their own little quirks and twerks, but they work. So, I mean, you guys were talking about, you gotta know your cooker and know what you're cooking, and the only way to do that is to cook more product.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want you to talk about, Phil, is because if you send me a 4-pack of what your products are, and they're good stuff, man. And, you know, one of my favorite products that I probably can't use in comp much is that mustard product, because that's really good if you're doing a brat. You know, I'm talking about the Astral or something like that. And, can you tell us a little bit about the 4 products you have, the flavor profiles that they have on them, and, you know, what they bring to comp?
Sure. I'll start with the Honey Bullet competition pork and rib seasoning. Rub, and then the No Mercy that goes with it. So the No Mercy is a finishing dust, a pre-dust, a sauce booster, or if you add hot water. It could be used as an injection for your pork and brisket as well. You just dust it over. I'd say medium on your ribs to start, and then after it gets a little tacky, then you put your rub on. So the No Mercy and Honey Bullet go together.
Right.
Sweet Hot and Low Down is, I use it for catering. I use it on everything. Brisket.
Right.
Butts, chicken, real well on chicken. Guys are winning some contests with it on chicken.
I don't want to interrupt you here a little bit, Phil, but I, you know, that's a great product. But is the sugar content a little bit too high for like a brisket? I mean, do you need to add it towards the end, or when would you put that product on?
You know, I don't add it at the end. Actually, some of the briskets I've been working with, I've been doing a little bit of the mustard and then the Sweet Hot and Low Down over it.
That's
so I would dust
good.
It with the mustard first and then the Sweet Hot and Low Down, and it comes out
okay.
Very nice.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, I just, you know, because I love that finishing powder you have. I mean, I use that. That's what got me to win a comp one time, and I think it was all you. And, you know, as far as that product, can you just tell people that are listening tonight, what is the flavor profile of that product?
That product is a little sweet. There's really not no spice in it. It's mainly just to get your product a little tacky where the rub will stick a little better. It does have
right.
a little pork flavoring in it. So, I mean, it's tops on ribs and pork butt.
Okay. And I interrupted you. You didn't get to your fourth product.
The Sweet Hot and Low Down and Astro is the mustard. That's the four.
Right. I got you. What sells the best for you?
You know, right now, Honey Bullet and No Mercy is selling like crazy. I just took about five cases of each product down to the class and sold out. So I was getting the word out down South Carolina way.
How would you use that Honey Bullet? I mean, you touched on it briefly, but I rudely
interrupted
you.
The Honey Bullet is sweet in the front end and heat in the back end. You could use it on anything, but I really like it on the ribs. And if you work it just right, you don't have to glaze too much. It's
right.
kind of got that glistening built into it, you know. That's probably the favorite product of everybody that's been buying right now.
Tell us about those Smoking Hot Babes that are on the cover of your products.
Smoking Hot Babes are from Lucky Devil Pinups, which have their own Facebook page. And Adam at Lucky Devil Pinups is a photographer that people hire him to take photos. So these pinup girls get dolled up and want photos for their boyfriends or husbands. And so that's where we picked the four girls from, is from out of the Lucky Devil Pinup collection.
You know, it's hard to cook barbecue when you have a boner.
Yes, it is.
So is that a secret ingredient? Right?
It's hard for me not to cook barbecue unless I have a boner. So, you know, I mean,
thanks for the heads up there, Andy.
So, one other quick thing I need to touch base on, I don't know if anybody you want to talk more rough, but one other thing I wanted to touch base on is we got a sauce class coming up the 24th of March in Elk Grove Village, Illinois at Sweet Baby Ray's restaurant. We got a little room put to the side. I think we've got about five or six entered in it already, and we only are going to take 15. So if you want to learn how to completely build your sauce, or a sauce, you can get on our website, tssfoods.com, look up the info, and it's $85 for the class, and we will totally break down how to build and how to get your sauce bottled.
Well, and that's one thing you mentioned there. I mean, you guys, that's a nice little service that you provide, because there's a lot of these guys out here that have good sauces, Andy Allen pork, you know, pop sauce. You know, that need to kind of maybe consider getting their product out there. How much, just kind of walk us through the process. How much would it cost to get your products, you know, bottled? How much would it cost to distribute the product? You know,
yeah,
all that kind of good stuff.
Well, the first thing I tell guys is to get your seasoning. Seasoning it can be done quick. Probably, you know, just with a couple of one or two tries, your seasoning can be where you want it, and you can get bottled into seasoning in a bottle. Our minimum is 24 cases, which is probably just over a little over 100 pounds. So we're not the guys that you have to buy 400 pounds, but you will have to buy 24 cases of 5.5 ounce size bottles. And if it's the bigger bottles, it's the, you know, 16 or 14 ounce shaker. But the least expensive one is the little bottle, and you can get it done for probably just under $1,000.
What about sauce?
Now for sauce, it's a little more time consuming, and our minimum for sauce is 400 gallons because it's really just not worth doing a batch of 50 gallons. I mean, nobody's
right.
making money on that. I mean, obviously the manufacturer, us or whoever you're using, is not going to make a whole lot on 100 gallons. Just for the ingredients alone, I mean, you got to buy some 55-gallon drums of items. So it takes 400 gallons to make it work pretty well for us. And the price range could range from $6,000 to $10,000, depending on your ingredients in that sauce. So, and when you're saying you want to get a sauce done, you want to kind of have somewhere to sell it. You want to have an outlet already. You just don't want to call us up and or anybody up and say, hey, I want to bottle my sauce. I got $6,000 or $8,000, whatever it is. Here it is. But where are you going to sell it?
Yeah.
You got to have somewhere to unload it, and so you can reorder it is the goal.
So Phil, do you do, like, when you do the sauces, do you provide the bottle? Do you provide, like, the graphics and all the stuff that goes on the bottle? Or what all do you do with that sauce?
We do a complete turnkey package. We'll give you a bottle, label, everything will be by us. Put it in the box, ship it right to you.
You know, because I've been encouraged, Andy, to, and I'm going to be speaking for you, Andy. I apologize for that. But,
okay, go ahead.
But, you know, Andy makes this pop sauce. It's off the chart, man. It's off the hook.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get out there because it's proprietary and it's what we use to win. But, if Andy wanted to do that, I mean, what would you do for Andy? How would you recommend he get that sauce out there on the market? And I know you've already said a few things, but, I mean, as far as, like, graphics.
If you get your name out there, you got to do whatever you got to do. And I tell guys to start off by doing demos at local stores. You got to get out there and pay your dues by doing a little demo work. I mean, not everybody's going to know who each individual barbecue guy is. You go to your grocery store, and the general public don't know who you are. You got to get out there with your brochure, with your bottles, with your label on it, and get your name pumped up out there.
So what's the profit margin typically on one of those bottles for the people that you sell to?
For ourselves, it's not even 10%.
Right. I mean, because it costs you a lot of money to do that. I know that.
Yeah, it costs a lot to do that. I mean, most of them that we do, we're not quite making 10% of them. So what our goal is just to get more guys their product out there so they can reorder it. So that's where we're going to make our money, is where we got a repeat customer.
Right. And I got to ask you, too, Phil, are you going to cook any comps this year, or are you going to, you know?
I am going to cook a couple comps, but I am going to be bouncing around a whole lot of comps. My plans for Memphis in May, I got a couple teams that want me to cook with them. But we will be scheduling a few comps. We'll probably be doing Murfreesboro again. We like to cook that one.
I got you. And you know, is there any truth to the rumor that, you know, Fred Gross is a liberal Democrat that, you know, basically I'm sorry, just kidding.
I don't know.
I just wanted to have a stroke,
man.
You're
going to
get hammered on that one. I don't know if he is a Democrat, but
Mojo Brick Fred is a friend of mine, and he does throw me some product, and I actually sold some Mojo Bricks this weekend in South Carolina for him. So we got to keep pumping. We got to pump all our products. So
absolutely.
Phil,
you're in Nashville, and from what I understand, there's like no barbecue joints in Nashville, so this is just a resting point for you guys on your way home, right?
Well, you know where I'm about to head. Right across, I'm staying right across the street from LP Field, and right on the corner over here is a Thai Phuket Thai place. I'm ready to go get me a belly full of Thai food.
Attaboy.
I want to ask you one thing, Phil. Here's one thing I've been thinking about. What about doing like barbecue Thai food? Could you do it?
Barbecue Thai food, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Why
you
not?
Everybody's been doing fusion stuff, but the one thing is I'm not seeing anybody do anything fusion with is barbecue. I mean, I think barbecue fusion would be awesome. You know, barbecue spaghetti. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but, you know,
there's a place in Memphis that sells that, though, Randy, the barbecue spaghetti.
They shoot off me those assholes.
Yeah,
I've never been to that place to try it, but they say it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, the other thing I think you talk about is because a couple of assholes from Arkansas got lucky up there in the Chicago and won the contest, and they're going to repeat the contest. You know, we're going to try to come back. And it's not about us, dude. It's more about Chicago. Can you talk a little bit about the Windy City Classic and what all that entails and what they're trying to do? Because I think that's really, really cool what they're doing up there.
Windy City Classic, well, last year was Windy City Rib Classic. This year's Windy City Barbecue Classic. Has changed locations this year. It's going to be in a Soldier Field parking lot where the Bears play, so it's a big parking lot. It's going to be a two-day event, and they've added brisket. So there is a four-meat category. It's not a sanctioned contest. I know the guys running, Nick Jared from Ruff Barbecue and Gary Wiviot from Barney Company, I know they have a letter from the governor of Illinois, which the last two have been in prison, but they do have the letter saying that it is a state contest. So I don't know what all that means, if it could be a Jack qualifier or not, but trying to get things going the right way.
I'll let you know what's up with that, because in order to – there's one of these rules. If you're cooking the Jack or the roll, you have to be a state-sanctioned – you know, or a declared state championship barbecue contest. So you had to get the governor to, like, put that proclamation out. And they're going a little bit away from that. But then there's the other thing. Everybody thinks you have to cook four categories now to get into that. So everybody's, like, leaning towards doing those four categories. But the one thing that you guys did at that competition that I thought was awesome were actually a couple things. First of all, everybody had the same product. Nobody had an advantage over product. Secondly, you could not use anything involving electricity, you know, and I thought that was awesome, you know, admittedly, you know, and I'm going to be very honest, Andy's on the show tonight, Andy's the guy who won the comp, it wasn't me, I was the eye candy, you know, isn't that true, Andy?
Nah, that ain't true.
I was strictly the eye candy. You know, Andy is, and that's the thing that really pisses me off, because Andy.
If you're eye candy, if you're eye candy, then something's wrong. I can say that.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I learned more off of Andy than vice versa, and Andy will tell you that right now. You know, we've always been equal cooks. But you know, the thing that I'm really excited about going up there, it's going to be more of a complete barbecue competition. Are they going to keep the same rules as far as, you know, you can't use electricity or that kind of stuff, or what?
Yes. Yeah, no electricity at all.
I hear you. And is it true also that Fred Gross is going to show up at a Speedo and streak around the square or not?
Hey, yeah,
you
need to
hear something about that.
I'm going to have bad dreams tonight.
I hear he's going to have a Mojo brick strategically placed on his Speedo, and he's going to, like, run around the square.
One of those big ones.
No, I don't think it doesn't have to be that big, I don't think.
Not a Mojo cube, probably.
One other thing I like you to talk about, Fred. I mean, Phil, I insulted you. I apologize.
No worries.
through that. But, you know, you've done a lot of catering and you do a lot of whole hog stuff. And tell us, what's the secret behind doing a whole hog, in your opinion?
You know, I like cooking whole hogs. I do a lot of parties throughout the summertime in Chicago for whole hogs. I try to find the pigs, you know, usually right around 100 pounds because that'll feed a lot of people. And if you need to supplement it, you can supplement it with either pork butt or sausage or something, you know, that's less expensive. So pig parties are always fun. I cook my pigs in about 100 pounds. If they're around 100, 120 pounders, usually about 8 hours.
At what temperature?
The temperature is about 250, 265, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what we need you to do there, Phil, because Annie and I want to cook a Memphis and May comp. And we need somebody to cook whole hog, man. So I think you need to join the Crunkmeisters, you know, and come down and help us do something.
We might have to do that. We might have to do that.
Yeah.
Are you guys planning on cooking it this year?
No, we're not cooking it. We're attending. We're going to be eye candy for our brother in pit mastery, Hank Vaden, I think, from what
okay.
I understand.
Yeah, we're going to hang out with
him. Our invitation may have got revoked. I don't know.
well, the one thing we'd like to do, though, I would love to cook a Memphis Barbecue Network comp. And, you know, the one thing I really want to do is whole hog. And, you know, we don't have a pig rig, so I think you need
to
come down and hang
together
with us,
on it.
We'd
we'll
love to have
getting
you, man.
Together on that for sure.
Hi, I got a pig rig.
Yeah. You know, it just amazes me. You know, I was reading on the interwebs on how much food that they actually cook, you know, at these MIMs versus, you know, a KCBS. You know, I mean, I'm cooking a couple of pork butts, three racks of ribs, you know, a dozen chicken thighs and a couple of
briskets. Less than that after I ordered that shit off the interwebs today, too.
Yeah,
baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I'll provide the pig rig. And y'all provide everything else, and you provide me with a Southern Crunk T-shirt. How about that?
I'm going to throw this out here tonight. What we need to do, Cody and me and Andy and Phil, we all need to get together, and we're going to form a superstar barbecue team, and we need to go to a Memphis in May event. And we're going to keep everybody's...
sounds great to me. If you can find one that's close to y'all and us, there's one in Dyersburg here later on in the year if you want to go to that one. I think there's one in Memphis down there. There's one in Memphis that's
South. There's one in South Haven, and it's in...
Yep, that one right there is Springfest. Springfest, that's the one I'm talking about.
So, Phil, you need to drag your ass down here, and we'll all get together, and we'll kick everybody's ever-loving ass. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it for sure. I'm all in for that. So,
I'll
have to find out the date, and then we'll get together.
Yeah, let me look at the date real quick.
Now, the only thing is, if you bring Fred, he's got to wear the Mojo Bricks Speedo.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think Mandy will let him wear that.
No, I don't think Mandy let him wear that either, you know.
No.
And I'm not prefer not to see that either.
You're heading back to Chi-Town, tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning we're going to be heading out. We'll be going through Louisville and Indianapolis and then to Chicago.
Hey, when the Crunk Boys roll up there, I want to go to that damn bakery that you've been posting all those pictures of in the morning.
Oh yeah, Keith Tex Bakery, Chicago.
Yeah, you gotta drag me and Randy's. I don't care if it's across town. I mean, I want to go to that joint because that's just the stuff that I see on there. I'm just like, holy crap!
That's a
good old school place.
Hey, boy, I should smoke. The place you posted with the aquarium as well, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, those aquarium smokers are cool, and you really only see them in Chicago area.
Right.
I'd like to go check one of those out, too, and just to kind of see.
And, you know, and when we're with the Pork Mafia, we can go back behind the scenes, too, Randy. You know?
Absolutely. That's what the Pork Mafia does. It takes you behind the scenes.
Well, hey, man, Phil, I wish we had you on earlier, man, because I think you're the best part of the show. And I really appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate talking to you guys. And because any time you can spread the word, good word of barbecue, it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, Phil, I really appreciate it, Bubba, and we need to get together, and I'm dead ass serious about it. Let's all get together cooking.
We'll see you in Memphis for sure.
Springfest in South Haven is April 25th and 27th. I'm open that date, whether y'all are. There's another one down in Memphis also that goes, it's like a benefit, kind of like a cancer benefit. I can't think of what the name of it is, but I know it's down in Memphis. And I think it's a little bit later on in the year.
I'm going to be down in Memphis in May this year, probably with Chris Birmingham cooking. But we'll see how that goes. But for sure, we'll get together on some dates here. Even if it's before Memphis, it's a possibility.
Yeah. I only got one thing. I'll provide the rig as long as I can be the eye candy. Y'all can do the talking and the cooking.
You're always right. You don't need to talk at all. You'll be the eye candy for sure.
Okay, you do. I get to decorate the hog. Hey, can I decorate? Y'all can cook the hog. Just let me decorate the hog. Is that cool?
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I'm serious as cancer, man. I really think
I'm being serious too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to combine our teams. You know, me and Andy and you and I'd love to get Phil down and. You know, and maybe Fred, if he promises not to misbehave, and you know, I think that'd be a great time. So let's book it. Book it, Daniel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Are you looking for April? Well, I need to know so I can book it in my calendar. Or are you looking for a different day? I need to find out the other car. There's another one in Memphis.
Randy and I are booked. I think. So.
Let me get on the NBN Network.
We're doing a cooking show that weekend, aren't we?
No, well, it's the last weekend in April. We're booked. We're down here by us.
All right, let's go out here. Let's look here and see. We got there's one in Etowka, Tennessee. I don't know about that one. Let's see. Philadelphia, Mississippi. Don't really want to go to Mississippi. Let's see. South Haven, April.
Philadelphia's cool.
Is that one in Baseball, Baseball,
Arkansas? Right? There's one in Baseville, Arkansas. Hey, that's a whole time, son.
We're cooking that weekend.
I know where Batesville is.
That ain't far from you either, Cody.
There's one, whatever.
Hey, Andy, that's smoke line.
Oh, yeah, we can't do that either.
Hold on.
Well, anyway, guys, we'll figure this out off the air. To all our patrons listening tonight, I just want to tell you, I thank you because you love Jesus and you listen to us. And I thank you because, you know, we cook barbecue, and that's what we do. And so from the United States of Barbecue, we thank you.
Oh, my God.
We thank you a lot. And please tune in next week as, you know, Andy and I will be marching in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, dressed as Elvises, and giving our praise to Barbecue Jesus.
Saint Barbecue.
I guess we're calling that. I appreciate you coming on the show. Glad to have you tonight.
Phil, thanks for calling. Hey, Bubba, you need to call sometime when I'm on the air, Bubba.
Hold on, we got
you guys.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I appreciate y'all. Let's close this thing out.
All right.
Hey, thank you, Phil. Thanks, Phil.
Right, no problem. Talk to you guys.
All right, bye.